available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football. We got camps starting around the conference. UCLA, I think they already did their first full pads because they got that early game. USC starting on Friday. Some of the other Arizona states got started. So we know we got fall camp starting up. And if you have any questions or comments about any of the programs that we cover here in the podcast of champions, maybe not like BYU since they're not in the Pac-12, but, you know.
I mean, they play like four Pac-12 opponents a year.
Yeah. So maybe we could kind of include them. We actually have a BYU comment.
Generally, when BYU gets talked about on this show, we generally just send something like tangentially offensive about Mormons. Like, we don't actually have any information. It's just something that's, like, you know, basically ignorant about Mormons.
Yeah. We do have a BYU email today, so, or at least one that mentions BYU. But, you know, you're a Washington State fan, you're a Colorado fan, send us a question. If we, you know, if we can't answer, we'll talk to the experts and get it out there for you. But email us, backfootpodcast@gmail.com. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. You can tweet us at Pac-12 Podcast, and the website is Pac-12Podcast.com with all the old episodes. Go over to reddit.com/r/podcastofchampions to talk with other POC listeners. But most importantly, go to your iPhone, Apple Podcasting app, follow us. You got to follow the Podcast of Champions.
Got to do it.
Five-star rating, 100%. And then leave a funny review. We love those. And I think we got a few more.
We have three more.
I think, okay, so last week, we liked the one from his name's Tor. He emailed us, sending him his jockey gift card, $100 gift card. Pretty cool.
Exciting.
Got three more today. Why don't we pick the best one and give them a gift card?
I think that's the idea.
Too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is from a five-star review, most importantly, from Shrek 2 Now on DVD. Pretty funny. exceptionally mediocre. A show comparable to a small-town high school girlfriend. Kind of what you're looking for, but of course there isn't much to choose from. Keep up the B-plus work, fellas. Okay.
Strong contender.
Five-star review from Scott MG fan for David. I am sofa king Tupid. Okay. I like it, but it's not quite there. And then for, then it's love you, Ryan. Hithloday is a buttholio. P.S. If I win, give gift card to homeless. Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is from UW Dad Vance, another five-star review. Pac-12 football talk from a couple of guys who cover a couple of Pac-12 teams. If there is a better podcast covering Pac-12 football, I'd challenge you to find it. And if you do, let me know.
Nice.
Peter in Vancouver.
What are your thoughts here?
All right, so I liked what he was going for with the I am sofa king Tupid, but I would have needed an S. Some way to work in the S before the Tupid.
Yes.
Right? So I think that eliminates that one for me, unfortunately.
Plus, yeah, and I don't know, you know, as far as like donating. This is for our fans to get these.
It's a great gift card. It's $100 to Jockey, but like we're basically giving that to like one guy on the street, you know?
Yeah.
Or one person on the street. And, you know, we want to spread the love to the listeners.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so I think our choices are between Shrek 2 Now on DVD, Exceptionally Mediocre, and UW Dad Vance, who had the subtle dig of I'm looking for a better Pac-12 podcast.
Right.
I think I got to go Shrek 2 Now on DVD.
That was pretty funny. Just laughed right just from the beginning.
Yeah, no, the name itself put me over the top. So yeah. We're going to go Shrek 2 Now on DVD. Peter in Vancouver, though, is a longtime listener. So we got to shout out Peter.
Shout him out. Okay.
But I think it's Shrek 2 Now on DVD.
Yeah, so email us, pac12podcast@gmail.com, and we will send you your gift card. So, Tor, you're getting yours in the mail from last week. And thanks again to Jockey, our buddy Tom, for putting those. I put a big order in, so I'm going to see. I got a lot of Jockey stuff. I didn't get any Jockey underwear, so now I've ordered a bunch of underwear. So
great for you. Yeah. You know what? I could use some new underwear.
Right.
I might get on board with that.
There you go. See?
And then we've come full circle because our initial joke was all about jockey underwear.
Right. So I think that's why they've avoided like even talking underwear with us with the jockey guy. You know?
Right.
So
I'm sure it'll be like out of stock for me and only me. Yeah, you get no underwear, sir.
Nice. Well, so last week was all about Pac-12 Media Day. Dave loved that stuff. Little newsy, some little newsy things we'll go through. As far as, I think it was The Athletic that broke the story that Bob Bowlsby.
It's a tough one.
It's weird. The bull with the SD.
Not good. Yeah. It's a bad name. He should have changed that.
So he, the Big 12 commissioner, was flying to the West Coast to meet with George Kliavkov.
Real power move making him come to you.
George Kliavkov is on a listening tour. He's listening. He's listening to everybody.
Have you ever been on a listening tour?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm more of a talker.
Yeah. But, yeah.
you can learn a lot more from listening. I think it's great that he's keeping his DMs open, basically. He's just like, yep, reach out to me. What's that, Baylor? I mean, he's got a lot of calls, he's been saying. So mm-hmm. The different interviews he's done and told us that. And now meeting with the Big 12 commissioner, I mean, it could be something as simple as a scheduling alliance thing where, you know, I don't know how that would work with 8 and 12 teams. Not sure how we'll see how that would work or some sort of merger. You know, I don't know. But what did you think about we haven't really got any details about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in favor of him meeting with whoever, whenever. And I think it's a good idea. I don't know if anything really with the Big 12 makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Bless you, sir.
Excuse me. I don't know if anything with the Big 12 makes a ton of sense. I think it still makes more sense to go with the Big 10.
Yeah.
And do something akin to that with the Big 10. But it might simply be that the Big 10 isn't, as interested and motivated as the Big 12 might be. So it'll be interesting to see if anything comes of it. I know some people are making some arguments that this death of the Big 12 stuff is probably a little bit overblown.
Yeah.
Because you still have quite a few programs in there who, yeah, they're not Texas or Oklahoma, but they're decent. Like, it wouldn't be like it suddenly drops to the level of the AAC, especially if they pick off one of the AAC's best teams and try to reestablish as a truly regional league of Texas, basically, and bring in Houston.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Big 12's days might not be completely over. And so it'll be interesting to see if anything comes of that. I imagine Kliavkov is mostly in pure listening phase right now and isn't going to be making any quick decisions.
Yeah, you don't have to if you're the Pac-12.
I don't think so. It just depends on what the individual member schools are planning to do, if any of them are having individual talks and, you know, planning to do something silly of their own.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Pac-12's rights deals are up in 3 or 4 years. The ACC, as we learned, that's like 2036. So that's why, you know, all the talk about Clemson or Florida State going to the SEC was probably bupkis, because they can't really do it.
Yeah.
Pac-12.
They signed a horrible TV deal that goes forever. You know,
right.
The ACC.
Yeah. So the Pac-12, they might have, some of these teams might have more flexibility. Some of these programs might have more flexibility. So he probably has to be cognizant of that. And I'm sure that's part of his listening tour to see how much or if any of these teams or programs are reaching out to, other leagues.
Yeah, I think with the Big 12, it's sort of like it's like this sinking ship, or, you know, it's a damaged ship that's, you know,
yeah,
taking on some water.
It's like in Master and Commander where, Aubrey's ship gets kind of like its mast blown off and they're like trying to make repairs at sea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. Like,
it could come back, but it's...
You're not sinking yet. Like, nothing's like fully taken out your hull and, you know, your pumps are still working in the whole thing, but like, If another French privateer shows up pretty
you're
quickly,
probably screwed, yeah,
and you're done.
You got no mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the Pac-12 doesn't need to play like, you know, Coast Guard Clipper and like just save the Big 12. It can sort of wait and be like, yeah, here's a few life preservers, but
right,
I'll talk, but I'm not really going to like tow you back to the West Coast or anything.
No.
But
yeah.
I think.
No, this is the Pac-12 is like the Galapagos Islands in this situation, I think.
They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, where would I go? But I think they have to make, I think it behooves him to talk to Kevin Warren from the Big Ten. Now, it didn't help Bob Bowlsby and his relationship with
nice work
with Sankey, because they were on the same 12-team playoff committee, and he still got stabbed in the back.
He still got his mask blown off.
He still did.
Interestingly, by a guy Sankey, you know, but they're not sinking.
They're not sinking. See? He's tried to sink them. Yeah. You don't want to get shanked by the Big Ten, and you don't have like them come in and take like USC and Oregon and whatever. Sure. So keep them, you know, keep them close. And if you can do some sort of alliance, that's great. But, and I don't know. I mean, it might help the Pac-12 that the Big Ten does have an inexperienced commissioner that's kind of bungled a bunch of his duties already, right? Like he's not been the best leader there, but they're still super powerful. And if you can align with them, you'd rather do that than the Big 12. But the Big 12, this is the fight. Did you hear some of the audio from those Texas Senate hearings?
Oh, it was great.
Holy beautiful. Cow.
Just fucking crushing Texas.
Yes.
Just crushing them. Like that one, the state senator who was like, yeah, oh, so you want to go lose to Alabama instead of being 3-7 against TCU? And the best part was they're two and seven.
They weren't even 3-7. They're 2-7.
Yeah.
There was just some shots in that one. And, the one senator, I think, talking about, look, if you were as good as you think you are, you should have made the Big 12 better.
Yeah.
There's some butthurt senators, I'm sure, from like, oh, where are you? You're like, I'm in Waco. Like, okay, yeah. Or that's your district. But yeah, Texas was getting absolutely slayed, and the Big 12 cease and desist order, the ESPN, and there's a Kansas senator, I believe it was, that was calling for an investigation of ESPN for its part behind it. I'm sure ESPN was doing some stuff behind the scenes, but what can you prove? I don't know. I guess what comes out of this is everyone just assumed, all right, they'll pay. I think it's like $85 million per school to get out of this deal. They'll just pay it. I don't know. And this is going to be fought by the Big 12, I think, to keep them around as long as possible. And then it's also likely delaying the 12-team playoff thing that seemed inevitable. But Sankey was part of that. Bowlesby was part of that. You know, if you're the Pac-12, you're like, I don't know if we need to do this right away. So this is having ramifications all across college football. And we don't know. It's just probably going to take a while for all of this to get sorted out.
Yeah. ESPN, stop screwing with our sport.
They control the bowls. They control
this whole thing is ESPN. I mean, the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, from the 12-team playoff to the merger of Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, it's all ESPN.
The college football regular season is awesome. Like, college basketball regular season is terrible, right?
It's not terrible. It's just it's irrelevant.
The best thing is the tournament.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Yahoo guys were talking about this. ESPN's not involved in the NCAA basketball tournament at all.
No.
If you get your hands on this and there's like some conglomerate, there's like 45 teams or whatever it is, and it's just all those teams playing, the tournament is like pretty much perfect the way it is, right? Like it's awesome. If you get rid of the Murray State first round upsets and stuff, and it's only, you know, your Ole Miss is playing Virginia, it's like nobody's going to even care about the tournament.
Well, what do people get excited about in the NCAA tournament? Like what gets casual people to watch the NCAA tournament?
The first two rounds. Yeah.
Honestly, like there have been years where I've dipped out when it gets to the Sweet 16. Right. And I'm an actual, like, I'm supposed to cover this and like, you know, actually care about this. And I'm like, it's not as interesting for me anymore. I'm dipping out. That's kind of the way this is going in essentially college football, especially if this consolidation of the SEC happens, if they go to 9 conference games, which is being talked about with
or even 10
or 10 conference games. And you're basically talking about essentially you're talking about a mini NFL. And I don't think that's what Joe college football fan is actually interested in.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there are people who are big NFL fans and big college football fans, but as we were talking about, I think last week, it's not a perfect circle Venn diagram. I'm one of them, but like I watch college football. I don't watch the NFL. I don't really care about the NFL, and the increased professionalization in terms of the like structure of the leagues and the way this whole thing is organized is going to be a turnoff. Not for the players. I mean, they should get money, but the rest of it. So Yeah, I think ESPN's role in all of this has been bad. I think they're the reason we sit here as a Pac-12 podcast just talking about the friggin' playoff all the time, because it's what's drilled into everyone. That's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. And it's just, is that really the college football we all
came to love? We love the regular season.
Yeah.
I would just, I mean, if they somehow, this creates like, you know, a whole different league, if they include the NCAA tournament, that would really suck, because that's...
Oh, you mean like the application of the NCAA tournament to this? Yeah, and in that case, I mean, totally. I mean, that would be awful.
But it seems like that's where we're going, where it's just going to be like power brokers in the sport. You know, maybe an expanded playoff, it's not going to be 64 teams, but maybe we get a little element of the NCAA tournament in the new college football playoff, where a Boise upsets an Alabama early or something like that. Maybe we get a little of that. I think it's going to be harder. But some of that, you know, you might get some. But yeah, the way the whole college football landscape is changing, like, there's no question about it. And I think the Pac-12 can wait and kind of see where things go. But Dennis Dodd wrote a story. I don't know if you got to see this, but we know that it's the power teams that are, like, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, they mattered. The Big 12 didn't. He says the four pieces left on the board that would have, like, the value of Texas and Oklahoma, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, and USC. Ohio State and Michigan aren't – I mean, the Big Ten makes tons of money. I don't think that's happening. Notre Dame's, you know, locked in with the ACC. That's a long deal. I don't see that. So USC can be, like, the wild card in all this. And I think if you're George Klyavkov, you got to do whatever you can to keep your big programs, the Oregons, the USCs, all that together. And then you can probably do something that's, you know, and make some good moves with your TV contract. But you're going to have to keep the powers in the conference. You know, there's no more parity. He's talked about that. You got to keep the big boys happy. Otherwise, it could upset everything.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. There was also the NCAA COVID news stuff. So basically, I don't have all of it in front of me. But if you're vaccinated, like, you're not going to get tested. You know, if you have symptoms, would you have to get tested, and you're fine. If you're not vaccinated, there's like testing, there's like quarantine, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So it's a lot of incentives to be vaccinated if you're a player. And for the Pac-12, I think for the most part, teams have done a good job with vaccinations.
Yeah, and building off of that, look, that might not even be like entirely true, that if you're vaccinated, you're like totally good to go in the whole thing. What I like about it from a messaging standpoint, though, is it actually incentivizes people to get vaccinated.
Yes.
What I'm hating about everything I'm reading about, like, Delta and Delta Plus and Lambda is, like, look, yeah, those might be more dangerous things that potentially escape vaccination at a higher rate. But you know what? It's still better to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
So it might not be completely honest messaging, but still message that if you get vaccinated, it's going to drastically improve your access to things.
You're going to be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I still don't understand. We're getting, like, these two messages at once. One is this, what the NCAA is doing, which I think is the proper messaging. And yeah, it might not be perfectly safe. Like, it might not be perfect, but it's good messaging. And then you get, like, the scientific apparatus that are saying, like, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, there's 20% more immune escape with this new variant and everything. It's like, okay, sure. But when you say, like, okay, this next thing is coming and it's going to be even worse, and then the next thing after that is going to be even worse, and all that does is disincentivize people from getting vaccinated right now, because they're like, what's the point?
Right. And so the vaccine, he got sick. He is vaccinated. I don't need to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and they keep using statistics really poorly, because, like, okay, they're like, oh, there was 150,000 cases of people with vaccines who got COVID. I'm like, okay. That's right now, I think 70% of the population has had at least one shot. So you're saying of the, like, number of cases over the last X number of days, only 150,000? It worked out to like 0.3% of the total cases. And it's like, what are we doing here? Why are we making this out to be a much bigger deal than it is? And it's just, there's so much bad messaging on this.
Yeah.
Just get your vaccines. Get your vaccines and life goes more or less back to normal. You might have to wear a mask in public places. Don't be an asshole. Do it. That's it.
Yeah, I think Arizona is almost 100%. I think they were like 115 out of 118 or something.
Yeah,
or...
and UCLA said they were 98%.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think most of the schools besides Washington State are actually at like a meaningfully close to 100% percentage.
Yeah. So good stuff there. If you Pac-12 is doing well in the Olympics, I think, would as far as medals
they're
go.
They're fourth overall, I think, behind the U.S., China.
I thought it was third. U.S., China, maybe.
I thought Russia was, or sorry, the Russian Olympic Committee or whatever the hell.
It's up there. I tried to watch the men's basketball thing the other night. It made me mad. Like, so my cousin comes over and she's like, oh, I want to watch stuff. Like, we downloaded the NBC app. So I put an app on my TV, whatever, sports app. I'm like, okay, it was kind of clunky, but we got to see some stuff. Specific stuff. And then, oh, I want to watch the men. Okay, it's on Peacock. Okay, so I download Peacock. And it's like, nope, it's premium on Peacock. You have to pay. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, you've made this way too hard to watch. Like, yeah. So yeah. Have you watched a lot of Olympics or not really?
No.
Or,
yeah. No. Once I stopped being like a small child, I stopped watching the Olympics.
No.
I just don't care. You know, it's like, I used to like watching gymnastics. Like, especially when they would do the stuff like the rings or like...
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, just that kind of stuff. But the... I don't know. Like, my dad was sitting there watching, like, the equestrian stuff.
Oh, God.
Like, just people riding horses and jumping over stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I watch a bunch of volleyball. I'll do that. But, you know, I wanted to watch the men's basketball team. But then I was like, nope, I'm not.
But why?
Like,
do you? Really?
I mean, like, see Kevin Durant dunk on some Euros. It's kind of fun, you know? Like,
no, but it's watching them lose to, like, Australia and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fun. But just to see. They were losing in that game to Spain, I think, early. But, all right, yeah, so the whole Peacock thing. But anyway, Notre Dame, their opener against Toledo is going to be on Peacock. So you're, like, if you want to be – so they're going to try to do that and get you to be a subscriber. If you're a Notre Dame fan, you got to get...
I love that you included that note because you were just so anti-Peacock right now. You're just like, no, I'm done with this. I'm going to blast them.
Well, I mean, I guess you got to do it. You're a network, but man, I mean, put the only thing that people want to watch on that. Like, okay, whatever.
Pretty dope.
I've just been hard. Like, I don't like the way it's packaged and like, it's, you know, they spend $1 billion on it, but I want to see stuff live, you know, and they're more interested in, well, we have this go in prime time, just, you know, stuff that happened like 24 hours ago, they're showing. I was like, oh, whatever. I don't think this was I think it's still Adam Brenneman, who the tight end coach for Arizona State, he was put on paid administrative leave, but they promoted Justin Wood, who was a support staff guy, to the tight ends coach for now. So he worked with Zach Hill, the offensive coordinator, as a quality coach when he was at Boise State. And it was also Georgia Southern and Cal Poly that Doug Haller tweeted that one out. But I think he's still just temporary leave, but we're kind of still waiting to hear what happens at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, that's where we're going with it.
That was like a 2 summers ago level note to me. Like, that one.
Really? That wasn't a good note?
I could have done without it.
Sorry.
Low-level assistant coaches moving around?
Yeah. Well, it's a big scandal.
Yeah,
or a
but
potential
it's just,
big scandal. And he's the only coach that's been involved in it so far. But
I get it.
But obviously if something happens to...
Look, I'm just critiquing the note.
Antonio Pierce? Or can I blame it on the intern that didn't put it in there? Or just
that was just you.
I mean, if it's Antonio Pierce,
Herm Edwards, that rises to the level of a note to me.
Okay.
But, like, what's going on with the tight end coach? This is, like, getting into all that stuff with who was the, like, USC coach who kept getting talked about when Reggie Bush was doing the thing? What was...
Todd McNair or what?
Yeah, no. Todd McNair. Like, I don't care about Todd McNair. You guys talk about Todd McNair all the time. No, we don't need that.
USC did get a guy arrested.
Yeah, that's a note. Brew now, McCoy. That's a note. Brew McCoy.
Former five-star.
Doing some allegedly doing some not so good stuff.
Serious charges that were dealing with like a
domestic violence.
Yeah,
yeah.
There
really
was something that had bodily harm. So he's been temporarily suspended. USC lost some really good receivers last year. Tyler Vaughns to the NFL. Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw Drake London at Pac-12 Media Day. He's an absolute stud, former basketball player. Mm-hmm. Brew McCoy was going to be like the number two guy, most likely. Yeah. So that's not going to help this USC offense.
No, certainly sounds very bad. And if there is literally any veracity to that, I think his USC career is probably done and potentially his college career.
My guess would be, he's not going to play this year.
Right.
My guess, if I had to bet on anything, he's not going to play at USC again, even if charges are dropped. They're serious enough that, so yeah. We'll see. We haven't heard much more on that. Our Keely Yore broke the story. So kudos to her. But yeah,
probably working on it during our last show.
I think she was. Yeah, those are the kind of things, like, for sites like ours, like, you don't always necessarily want to break, like, bad news like that. But, you know, you get a story, you get a scoop, you know,
yeah,
kind of go with it. But
it goes back to our conversation about journalism last week. You know?
Yeah.
We're not real journalists, but sometimes we have to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and answer questions. Back in a minute.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here on the podcast of Champions. I think the first email is the Pac-12 football tournament from Jason, if you want to do that. But I also got a DM on the site, on usafootball.com, from JRUSC, and he asked a question, so I can read that one if you would like.
I'd love it if you did.
Yeah. He says, "Hi, Ryan. Sorry if this is not the best place to submit questions for the podcast. But with conference realignment being a big issue now, I was wondering if you and Dave could share the sentiment and plans from the different programs around the league. I'm a USC fan, and I think our fan base sees incredible potential for our program, even if we have little faith in our leadership to get it right. I'd love to know if other programs are thinking and doing, what other programs are thinking and doing to prepare for the inevitable changes we're about to see. I'm also wondering what the fan sentiment is around the league right now regarding the potential changes. I think there are also a lot of people who normally trash USC, but would have to beg us to stay." I haven't really got a lot of perspective from...
We can maybe reach out to the other publishers about this. I know from like a UCLA fan perspective, I think it's about mixed. I think there's some who feel incredibly beaten down over the last 20 years and have convinced themselves that like the UCLA brand is like piss and there's no way and UCLA is going to be a whack program next. I think there's probably more people have the more realistic sense, which is that UCLA at the very worst is a top three, top four brand in the league, and will be part of any substantial move by another league to acquire part of the Pac-12. UCLA will be included in that.
Yeah, I think it depends where you are. If you're the Big 12 fans love to hate on Texas, and you see the Senate crushing them and stuff, but they're acting entitled because they are, because they haven't won a conference title like, you know, that off. I mean, it's just not been, but they're still a huge brand and they are coveted by big program, big, you know, conferences, TV rights deals, like all of that. So yeah, you can hate on the big programs. You want to say Oregon's terrible and stuff, but they're a powerful brand and they're a powerful brand in the conference. And Oregon State is a lot weaker if Oregon's not big, you know, and we just see that a lot. So, yeah, that's sort of like where we are with that, but we can kind of get a feel. But if you're not one of the top two or three, four, whatever big brands in the conference, you better be hoping that those brands stick around, because if some, you know, the top four went to the Big Ten or something, the conference would look a lot different. And yeah, the as bad of a media rights deal there is now, adding like Boise State and San Diego State or BYU or any of that stuff, you know, they wouldn't do that. But it's not going to repair, you know, not going to replace the LA market or whatever. I mean, you know, there's a lot of programs that, you know, it's not clear. I think Texas and Oklahoma were clear. You got to clear number one. You know, Oregon's had a lot of recent success. UCLA's huge brand. You know, tons of basketball tradition in LA. I mean, but it's like at Arizona State, just the Phoenix market is absolutely huge, you know. You know, Washington, there's a lot of history there. And the Seattle market, like, there's appealing programs at the very top. And, you know, it's I think there's a lot of options of things that could happen. And you'd rather, if you're, you know, you're Colorado, you have the Denver market, like there's some appeal there. You're Oregon State, whatever program, you're hoping that there's more acquisitions as opposed to defections, because, you know, you're probably not going to be included if there's a defection.
Yep. Agreed.
Thanks, JRSC, for that question. And you want to?
We actually have a question from last week that we didn't get to, because it weirdly, Derek, your emails always go to our junk. And then I had to actually delete our promotions folder to ensure that it never does again.
Oh, okay.
So Derek from Santa Clara. POCNIL. Hi, David and Ryan. While we hopelessly observe the demise of college football as we know it, I thought it would be a fun distraction to think about who would be the POC's dream NIL sponsor, obviously besides Jockey and all the free swag that they already give you. One, Wheaties, the breakfast of champions for the podcast of champions. Two, Disney. Between the princess and Mandalorian discussions that happen already, you might as well get paid for the free exposure that you're already giving them.
Fair.
Max Earplugs. David's sign-offs at the end of the episode make a good case for the importance of hearing preservation. Or maybe some other sponsor not on this list. Thanks and go Bears. Derek from Santa Clara.
Thanks, Derek. I'm not a big cereal guy.
Neither am I. I think it's Disney. Disney's the obvious choice. I think you could make an argument based on percentage of time that we are more of a Disney podcast than we are a college football podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's fair.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for that one. Let's go with Disney. They got deep pockets, right?
Yeah. I think they can pay us, right?
I'm sure. Yeah. Their checks probably wouldn't bounce.
Probably not.
This is from Sparky's roommate, Pac-12 football tournament. Due to the pandemic still out there, because too many people still won't get vaccinated, the Pac-12 will ask very nicely each school's boosters to use NIL to hire only 12 players to play the whole football season, one for each team. The catch? Each player gets to clone themselves enough to fill a full roster. The other catch? Each player has to be a Disney princess.
Wow. Okay. All
right. There's a lot going on here.
Okay, I get it. All right. So it's like a team full of Rapunzels versus a team full of, like, Mulans.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So the 12-team playoffs are all the rage now. So it was decided that we would have a single elimination tournament featuring these teams. Okay. So UCLA has a football team of Mulans who will play the winner between the Aerials of USC and the Bells of Oregon State.
Okay. All right, so let's just do it. Take it pod by pod.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So Mulan is a warrior, right? Like, she fights as a man in a traditionally masculine society, and holds her own more than capably. Fights off the invading Hun army more or less single-handedly, right? At the end, she performs.
I haven't seen it,
so. She performs elaborate, like, essentially gymnastics, but climbing and a variety of different things. Her ability to, like, engage in subterfuge, like, she, you know, has her friends dress up as women, but they're actually men. Like, there's trickery, is what I'm saying. There's trickery, there's strength there. So Ariel,
she's kind of like Aquaman. Dude, like,
homie,
what are you gonna do,
homie? She can't even walk when she turns into a human for a little bit. Like, really? No, sorry. And then Belle, she just reads a lot. Like, that's her superpower.
I would think either one of them. I don't know who would win between Belle and Ariel. But
Mulan's crushing this pot, is what I'm saying.
Mulan, she could take them both on at once.
I think.
It just wouldn't be a problem. Okay. The Leias of Stanford.
Are we calling Princess Leia a Disney princess?
I guess they're... Wow. All right. I guess that... I didn't know I was missing an actual other princess, but she is a princess, and it's a Disney franchise, so...
Let me see if there's some research on this. Hang on.
All right. But anyway, the Leias of Stanford will play the winner of the game between the Tianas of Oregon. Is that right?
Tianas. Come on, man.
Tiana of Oregon and the Snow Whites from Utah.
Okay.
I don't know who Tiana is.
So Tiana can, depending on if she kisses the right person, can turn into a frog, which... you know, there could be advantages in that, right?
Wait, is that the Shrek one?
No, no.
Okay.
Tiana, Tiana is Princess and the Frog.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right. She can also cook really well. She owns a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Snow White.
She seems pretty fragile.
Does she bring with her, like, does each Snow White among the 11 who are playing, do they each have seven helpers who are small?
I think they come with dwarves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we're that's talking. That's actually a team. That's actually a team of 88.
Yeah.
Actually, so you know, I could get talked into that. So all right. So Leia can use the Force, obviously, but she's untrained.
She's an untrained user of the Force.
Right. And when she's
got that
and
laser
is
pistol,
is it young
though?
Leia or is it old Leia? Old Leia could actually use it, sort of, but like only to prevent her own death in the middle of like icy space.
Hmm.
For like a period of time and then float back to her ship.
She was pretty good with the little blaster that she had too.
Yeah. But even still, I think I'm going with Snow White and her and the 88.
I think the 88, like she would be able to shoot all of them.
You think she would?
No, she wouldn't.
No,
she,
yeah. I don't think she's that trigger happy. And also I don't think her control of the Force is enough to deal with that. So I'll go with the Snow Whites from Utah.
So I'm with you there. Washington chooses it's Elsa's. So that's the Frozen one, right?
Mm-hmm.
To play the winner between Washington State's Rapunzel's and Colorado's Cinderella's.
Okay. All right. So Elsa obviously has the power of winter, right? She can create ice and snow. And
she crushes both of these people.
Yeah. She can create a snowman. Like she can create a living, breathing like thing that has a personality, carries over to multiple movies. Now, here's the question. Would her power for the ice and snow be negated by Washington State and Colorado, right?
Ooh.
They're used to that. Sort of the Bane thing where, like, you have merely adopted the ice and snow. I was born in it, molded by it.
I mean, Rapunzel couldn't get out of the tower.
But Rapunzel has incredibly long hair and can make everyone around her super youthful just by singing to them.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's an actual power.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I think Elsa's still she's too powerful.
Then we also got Cinderella, who transforms into a princess with like a weird pumpkin cart.
She does have a fairy godmother.
Right. Who like will like, seem to listen like, to her wishes and stuff.
But doesn't really like violence.
Yeah, it's Elsa. It's Elsa, but I think it's closer than you think.
Okay. All right, we'll go with Elsa in this round. And then finally, Cal's Anna's.
Anna's.
Anna's. Which one's Anna's?
Elsa's sister.
Oh, she's not powerful though, right? Or is it?
I mean, she sings well.
Oh, okay.
She's got a plucky attitude.
So her Anas will play in a football game against the winner of the game between Arizona State's Jasmines and Arizona's Auroras.
All right. So Aurora's big thing in her movie is being asleep, right?
I don't know which one that was.
That's Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So can't go with that, right?
No, she's, yeah.
Jasmine doesn't really do a whole lot. Her big thing is like escaping from the palace and not really being like down to be royal.
She could do. She looks like she could parkour it up a little bit. Like.
Maybe. Anna's got like a plucky attitude and you know, devotion to her sister. But I don't think that does anything. So if I'm going with, if I have to pick one, clearly the weakest pod, but I'm going with Jasmine.
Okay. Let's say Jasmine upsets Anna.
All right. So then it is the Mulans versus let's just say Mulan's versus the Snow Whites.
Yeah.
So Mulan, armed with a sword.
Sure, did take on a whole army, right?
Armed with a sword, and exactly, she was able to defeat the entire Hun army with no help. Imagine 10 other Mulans.
Yeah. And I think Leia would have taken out some of the dwarves. Like,
right.
In the first round.
Dwarves are not feeling great after getting blasted. All right, so the Mulans beat the Snow Whites from Utah. And then the question is whether Elsa even takes a scratch against the Arizona State Jasmines.
Probably not. I think I think we have an Elsa Mulan.
So it's Elsa versus Mulan. So this is the question of somebody with actual magical powers. But here's another note and another interesting wrinkle with Mulan that I think needs to be factored into the equation is that she does have a friendly dragon who's small, breathes a little bit of fire, voiced by Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
Is that enough?
It's like Donkey from Shrek, like same kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's Eddie Murphy, isn't it? Dragon, Mulan, Eddie.
Well, a little bit of fire against Elsa's ice. So maybe that
negates
a little bit of that,
maybe, but also like she's really got magical powers.
Yeah, like I think Mulan would give her a run, but I think Elsa's.
I think ultimately it's Elsa. Yeah. Elsa wins.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Jason, for that one.
Great question, Jason.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have from Antonio. I may be wrong, but I actually don't know what this is referencing.
Oh, okay. So this was. Okay. Well, real quick, Tor wrote in huge staff rim job. So he just thanked us for.
It was an internal message that we don't need to share externally, okay. Ryan.
Antonio's, okay, so this was, see, I may be wrong, but his first three suggestions involved BYU being led into the Pac-12. His fourth involved Utah being the only Pac-12 team not getting into mega conference. We may have a Cougar on our hands and not the Washington State.
Oh, yeah,
State
it was
variety.
The guy who was proposing all the different options.
So he proposed a lot of different options, but it was BYU, and like three of them were like, why would BYU be involved in this? So our buddy Antonio is basically outing our emailer, and I forget who it was.
As a BYUer.
As a BYUer. Yeah. Saying that what's going on there. And didn't include Utah in any of them. So
right.
Thank you, Antonio, for that.
All right. We've got Hitha Day. I'm going to Google his.
So this is a.
So first, I'll read it for everyone. Thesmophoria Zeusae.
I believe it's a. Some kind of play that's dealing with female. I Googled this before. It's similar to like what Mulan was doing, like females in a male-dominated society.
Okay. The subversive role of women in a male-dominated society.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay, cool. Last week's podcast ought to be applauded. You had Inside Troy's Keely Ure sitting silently in the corner for an hour and a half, referenced Reign of Troy's Alicia de Artolo in regard to baked goods. You boys made light of representation in media, disclaimed being real journalists since access journalism doesn't count, and relayed how happy you were with your jockey merchandise and sharing beers alone with the commissioner during a media event. What a lucid demonstration of the state of the industry. I think he's being a little bit snarky there.
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I picked that up. When I interviewed Alicia a couple of weeks ago, we had a long discussion about how USC's roster has come to be so positionally imbalanced. Clearly, the offensive and defensive lines desperately need help, but the team is out of cap space because the staff refused to encourage players to leave from overloaded positions. Example, tight end and linebacker, but there are more. Despite the fact that they'll never see the field due to the structure of the playbooks or their performance or injury histories. Alicia said that she believes Clay Helton is a good guy, but just too nice, among other problems for this job, and isn't as hard-nosed about processing players out as more successful programs are, which is one of the reasons why the 2020 class was so small. What do you think of those theories? First, that USC's roster is imbalanced in this way, and second, that it's because of Helton's character as opposed to other more practical issues.
They're not... Yeah, I don't think they're... I mean, they're not pushing players out of the program that they probably should. I mean, they talk about a balance. They do have a lot of offensive linemen. I mean, there's like 19 scholarship offensive linemen, but I probably like 7 or 8 of them could play, you know, so at least the way we've seen. I wouldn't say as far as Clay Helton issues go, that's not like one of the biggest ones. Like he doesn't run off enough players. It's really just been about, you know, they were put themselves in the spot because of poor recruiting at USC should be a crime. Like that's not, you know, that should never happen. And he's had a couple classes that were just poor, and they had a lot of part-time or no-time recruiters on staff. They have a lot better recruiters now, and they're doing a lot better. But there was a couple years there, and that's sort of why you're seeing this stuff on the roster. But he's just not, I mean, he is a very nice guy. He's someone that, you know, you would, if you met him, you're like, this is a nice guy. I want to root for him. But he just hasn't shown, I think it can be a pretty cutthroat business. And he just hasn't shown the ability to be able to do that. And so, yeah, this would be one of the problems, I would say, Hitha Day, but he's got a lot of other ones. He's just not like this alpha head coach. You know, you don't have to be Nick Saban. You don't have to be like Bill Belichick, but you got to be up there. And I think he's just more of a guy that's happy to be there because he was promoted to a job that he shouldn't have got. So he's more about, hey, I'm happy that I'm here, as opposed to this is my job and I'm going to do everything in my power to get this team to win.
All right.
That's what I would say. But thanks, Hitler. John Abrea, he wrote into the Audible, by the way. John's cheating on us a little.
What the hell?
Yeah. You know?
Does he think that's okay?
I don't know.
Maybe we shouldn't read his email right now.
No, we should. I mean, he's good. But He's, you know, he likes podcasts.
That's but John, fun. You should know, we gave it some thought to not read your email.
Yeah. Pac-12 Big Ten merger. Hi, Ryan and Dave. It's clear everyone is thinking about the potential Pac-12 Big Ten merger scenarios in the wrong way. The top consideration should not be related to revenues, academics, or competitive advantage. What needs to be discussed is which teams bring the best sound bites to the Podcast of Champions weekly rankings. This is what eliminates most of the Big 12 from consideration. What sound does a horned frog make? The only exception from the Big 12 is possibly Texas Tech. If someone could replicate the sound of a thrown tortilla hitting a cheerleader's thigh. I mean, obviously guns are cool sounds, you know, but the tortilla thing is, yeah, he's right.
Well, Red Raiders, is that Cowboys or is that, you know, Native Americans? What are we going with there?
I thought they were like cowboy people, no?
Are they? I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
What is the Red Raider?
Let's see. The power of Google is at your fingertips.
Yeah, I want to know all about the, what is the meaning of this? Okay. It's new nickname because of their all red uniforms and rigorous coast-to-coast schedule. Okay, so it's not racist. I thought it was.
Oh, all right. But I think they would have some guns. But anyway, without a doubt, the Big Ten brings the best sound bites. Badgers, Wolverines, Gophers, Boilermakers. Would be like a boiler exploding or something.
Yeah, like, is that like a train whistle?
No, I mean, it would just be like a...
Just like, boom!
Just like an explosion. That would be awesome. Various large cat-like animals, and of course, the sound of a nut cracking. That'd be the Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. Based on this criteria, which teams from the Pac-12, Big Ten, and Big 12 would you put together to create your super conference of champions? I was relieved to hear that you would continue to host the Podcast of Champions no matter what happens. Thanks for all you do and all you don't do, John and Brea.
All right, so Big Ten teams currently. You've got Indiana, which is a Hoosier. No.
No.
Maryland, which is a Terrapin. What the hell is a Terrapin?
That's a turtle, and so no.
No. Wolverines, Michigan.
Yeah, Wolverines up there.
I'm in there. Michigan State Spartans.
It could be very similar to the USC.
No. You quote 300. You know, like, this is Sparta. Just have that soundbite going over
like
and over
that.
Again.
Okay,
that's not bad. Buckeyes. I kind of like the idea of a nut cracking.
Yeah, that'd be all right. It'd be unique.
Yeah. Nittany Lion, no.
I mean, we have a lot of...
Yeah, but Nittany's stupid. What's Nittany?
It's a type of... I don't know.
Maybe you don't want Penn State around.
Okay, so they're out.
Doing their weird stuff.
Too many cat things, anyway.
Scarlet Knights? Yeah, I'm not into that. The Fighting Illini, which is... That gets kind of into our Ute thing.
Yeah, so we could have like a...
We don't need more of that.
We already got Utah bow and arrow.
Yeah. We're already getting problematic enough. Hawkeyes?
I think that could be so cool. Like, we don't really have, like, a cool bird sound, do we?
Yeah, but is that what a Hawkeye is? What's a Hawkeye?
I think it's a, like, a...
Are we just talking about hawks with eyes?
I guess there's blind hawks? I don't know.
I don't know, man. Golden Gophers? I'm into that. You could quote Caddyshack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be...
Corn husking, that could make actually a really good soundbite.
With a, like a, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Husking some corn.
Wildcats, we already have one. We don't need another. Boilermakers, I'm into that. But Boilermakers, it's not boiler explosion. It's like, it should be like metal clanging with like a hammer. I'm making a boiler.
Making a boiler, yeah. Yeah. My buddy sells them.
Or it could be like just boiling water.
Mm.
That could be, you know.
That'd be unique.
Yeah. And then Badgers, sure.
Those are all pretty good ones.
Yeah, that's not bad.
What are your favorites from the Pac-12?
Sun Devil. It's really cool.
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
The Ducks. I'm into that.
The Quacks are good.
Cougars and Huskies. Beaver.
I like the Ute one.
Beaver, don't we do the...
The Timber thing?
The Timber?
It's... let me find it.
Oregon State Beavers.
Oh, the chainsaw.
The chainsaw. And then Stanford is the tree falling.
Yeah.
Stanford Cardinal.
I like both those.
I like the
Utah Utes.
Yeah.
This is a cool one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like the laser eye Baird from UCLA?
UCLA Bruins.
You don't really get the laser eyes in it, unfortunately. There needs to be like a laser overlay.
That's true. You like the sword?
USC Trojans.
Unsheathing your sword.
Kind of lame, actually.
All right.
Washington State Cougars.
The meow is way better.
Washington State Cougars. Arizona State Sun Devils.
I think that one
that's
wins.
The actual best one.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
All right. Next we have Eric. Two questions. Hi, guys. A couple of questions. With the recent COVID resurgence, do you think there will be any effects on the college football season? Do you think there should be?
So talking to like a USC administrator a little bit about this, they just have to be nimble again, because, you know, if any county or any like local health department changes something, it could have a huge impact on these sports programs. The fact that these are games played outside, I think, is helpful. From what I've heard, USC is still going forward just like they were before. I haven't heard of anyone that's backing off of that. I don't know if you heard anything. I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes unless something changes in the national or the local health scene. You know?
Yeah. If things go hog wild and, I mean, it actually does end up like escaping vaccines in a meaningful way. But as we were talking about, most of these teams are vaccinated, and most of the restrictions that were in place in terms of quarantining that did derail games last year are, I don't think they're going to apply to the vaccinated players. So I can't see this having huge and meaningful impacts on canceling games and that sort of thing. Yeah. I think the question is whether they're going to move forward or stop with the idea of moving forward with the idea of having full stadiums. I think that's maybe the thing that could be, depending on the locality, whether they change that. But in terms of the season itself, I don't see it being overly impacted. Again, pending, you know, more developments with the virus itself, if it's suddenly escaping vaccines and making people who are vaccinated at a meaningful percentage seriously ill, then you might see some changes. Yeah. But as it is, if they weren't going to cancel things in like a really meaningful way last year, they're definitely not going to do it this year.
Yeah. And I think you're going to see less, if any, games be canceled for COVID. They'll probably be forfeitures instead of like a no contest. But you're just not going to have like some random asymptomatic player get tested, maybe have a false positive, and shut down like an entire position group. You know, like there's stuff
the quarantines aren't going to be that, well, at least as of now. Again,
right.
if things change with the virus and suddenly, you know, it's found that potentially serious illness, even if you are vaccinated and all that other stuff, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of different factors that could play into it. But I don't see it. Now, whether it should be, I mean, I'm still of the opinion that we are 8 to 12 weeks of a lockdown away from not having to worry about this forever. But doesn't seem like there's any interest in that. So we're just going to keep going forward.
I have no interest in that, to be fair. Okay.
Well, I don't have much interest in it either, but I also don't want to deal with, like, whatever. What's the end of the Greek alphabet? COVID Zeta? Like, whatever the hell that's going to look like. I don't want to deal with that either.
Yeah.
All right. So with the move of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC and further reshuffling in the cards, it looks like the Pac-12 schools who should be most worried about being left without a major conference are Washington State and Oregon State. Are there any other schools you think should be prepared to be left in the Mountain West? And if so, which schools and why?
I think you can rank them for tiers. You know, there's like, you know, there's a lot of scenarios, or most scenarios, the LA schools would be involved in something.
So the bottom tier, so let's put them into quadrants of four.
Okay.
All right. So bottom four are Washington State, Oregon State, Arizona, and Utah.
Yeah. I think Colorado's above Utah because of Denver.
Right. And then your next...
But Utah, I think, is still above, like, Washington.
Utah is the top of that bottom quadrant.
Yeah.
Or bottom... What are three things? Because they're not quadrants.
Oh.
I don't know. Whatever. Triumvirate. And then in that second one, you've got Colorado, ASU, Cal, and Stanford.
Yeah. But it's funny because... And all of them could see time in the top tier.
Well, it depends on the priorities. Like, those are the ones for whom it depends on the priorities of the acquiring league, because
just being a Bay Area,
the TV markets, Bay Area TV market and the Phoenix TV market are big. But
they could be paired with the California schools, mm-hmm. like as a group. There could be, you know, but Phoenix is a big market, you know.
And then the top four are Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. And so the lower you go down,
the more likely it is that you're left off.
Yeah, so you're most worried if you're in the bottom one. I think the top eight, there's a lot of scenarios that all those schools could be involved, you know?
Yeah.
But I think almost, I think outside of USC, any school, there's scenarios where you could be left off. There's some that, like, people have talked about, like Oregon, Washington, USC, and Colorado or something. And, you know, it's hard for me to picture USC and UCLA not being together.
There was a time probably up till about 5 or 10 years ago where USC and UCLA probably would have moved in lockstep no matter what. I don't think they're quite as, like, we're not going anywhere without them as they used to be. But I still think that's probably going to be an operating thing for both schools.
Yeah. If you remember back, it's like Dan Weber reminded me of this. 1978, I think it was, when the Arizona schools were added. I believe it was Stanford's president came in the last minute and was like, yeah, we don't want this to happen. And USC and UCLA teamed up and said, fine, we'll leave. And then Stanford had to acquiesce. And then the Arizona schools were added.
Yeah.
That's probably the last time that those LA schools like threw their weight around or whatever.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we'll see, but there's a lot of scenarios. You'd rather obviously be in that top tier, but man, so if you're in the bottom tier, you're hoping that everyone stays together and there's a schedule alliance or some sort of alliance, potentially even a merger. The interesting thing is going to be, see, Dave, going forward, if super conferences are formed, like, will teams start to get dropped? Will they'll be like, you know, we don't need these teams that are at, you know, would be in that bottom tier in some aspect of it. I mean, that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get there. Like, was the SEC going to be like, you know, Vanderbilt, you win baseball national championships, but we got to get rid of you. You know, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting.
All right.
Brave new world.
This is Pac-12 desirables. We're just talking about that. Although I often find myself disagreeing with one of you during the podcast, usually David, after last week's discussion about which Pac-12 teams were viewed as most valuable in a conference realignment scenario, I found myself screaming at my speakers in disgust with most of what both of you said. I do agree USC would be the overwhelming number one target by another conference looking to raid the Pac-12. However, the dismissal of Oregon as a clear number two is just wrong. And using the size of, quote, media market is outdated thinking. The Big Ten grabbed Rutgers and Maryland during the latest realignment frenzy due to the size of the media markets, which allowed the Big Ten network to be bundled and sold to every cable customer in their footprints. So the Big Ten made money regardless of the number of fans who actually turned in to view Rutgers getting blown out every week. With cable cutting increasing, the number of cable subscribers in an area is becoming meaningless in these conference realignment what-if scenarios. This is about the number of eyeballs a team can draw, not the size of the geographic media market. In 2020, Oregon had three of the top four viewed games in the Pac-12 and the top five most watched in 2019. I would have included more years to see how far back Oregon's viewership dominance went, but could not find anything breaking it out by games. It seems if a conference was going to plunder the Pac-12, USC and Oregon would be on the top of their list without a doubt. So please admit you're both wrong, so we can all move on with important things like Ryan's man crush on Kalashnikov.
So, citation not found on number of cable subscribers becoming meaningless. That's not true. That's not true.
And eyeballs are not the most important.
You argued, okay, the Big Ten grabbed Rutgers and Maryland. What was that? Not even a decade ago?
Yeah.
Right? And the reason they did that is because it expanded their footprint and they didn't care how many eyeballs. And then you use that somehow as your argument for why Oregon makes sense, which is the exact opposite argument. So that's confusing for me. And it's based entirely on this idea that's false, that media markets don't matter anymore, which is, again, not to belabor the point, false. It's nice that Oregon gets the reason we're talking about Oregon as even in the top four, which the media market says it absolutely should not be, is because it's good right now. And it's been good for 10, 15 years, and it's shown elements of being a lasting brand. But the reality is that it doesn't have that media market, and that actually is a significant factor. And so it is a significant factor in them potentially being left off of a list if it's a very small list of just USC. But they're in that top group. But no, I don't think they're the clear number two.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. But Matt, it's about the brand. It's not like we have the best fans or we have like that doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's, you know, TCU's beat Texas 7 out of the last 9 years.
Yeah.
Iowa State has become a top 10 team. It doesn't matter. Like, it's like there's just things that don't matter. Oregon's made the brand significantly better. Nike's helped with that. That's the reason why they're up there in that tier. If this was 10 years ago, it wouldn't be the same thing. But I don't think you can say it's a clear number two because there are, I mean, I think Dave's right. There's more scenarios where if you're picking and choosing programs from the Pac-12, I think there's more scenarios that Oregon gets left out than UCLA. But just, I mean, having to be in the Los Angeles aspect of it, yeah, I mean, I, who knows? It just depends on what would happen and how many teams would get, you know, picked. But, you know, Oregon's certainly up there, but I don't think it's a clear number two, you know. So
Yeah, I don't think so either. So,
But they would be in the top tier, just like we talked about the previous one.
You know,
all right.
It's certainly not worth screaming at your speakers about.
You want to know, you want to do Paul's?
I would love to do Paul's. This is a coaching parody from Paul Webfoot. Hello, champions. I have a hypothetical situation for you to ponder. But first, a joke. Another Seven Dwarfs reference. Wow. The Seven Dwarfs were marching through the forest when they fell in a deep, dark ravine. Snow White, who was following behind, peered over the edge of the gorge and asked if they were okay. From the depths of the dark hole, a voice called out, Jimmy Lake will make the Huskies a CFB championship contender. Snow White thought to herself, well, at least Dopey survived. Love it. Nice. Now on to the business at hand. If we cloned Mario Cristobal 11 times and each clone became the head coach of a Pac-12 school, which team wins the conference title in 5 years? Does that math change if we give them all Clay Helton's or Nick Rolovich's? Could Chip Kelly win at UCLA if he only had to outcoach himself? Thanks for everything you do, except the parts I don't like.
Thanks, Paul. We have a lot of cloning going on in this episode, too. Okay, so Mario Cristobal is the head coach at every Pac-12 school.
Correct.
Am I wrong? It's just USC wins. Like,
yes.
Is that,
I don't see a scenario, wrong? Actually, where USC doesn't win this.
Right.
Because basically we're saying all other things being equal, basically.
The head coaches are all the same.
Right. And so who would be the coaches who would least take advantage of USC's market position? Probably Chip Kelly. Right?
Yeah. Or Clay Helton.
Or Clay Helton. Who else? Carl Durrell?
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm just basing that off of his recruiting at UCLA. It's probably Clay Helton and Chip Kelly, right?
I would think, yeah.
So only in those two scenarios does USC not win the league. But I don't think Clay Helton or Chip Kelly would be able to take advantage of Clay Helton or Chip Kelly at USC.
Yeah. So who would the other team that win? Like, would an Oregon win or would, like, I don't know.
The answer is just USC.
Yeah. It's a weird question, Paul. I don't know.
Tough one.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe we're not thinking about that right. This is me, right?
Oh, it sure is.
The Capitalist Guide to Pac-12 Expansion. This looks long. Because it is. Gents, there will be a bunch of folks who will trot out various versions of expansion plans that include the Pac-12 picking up 4 teams from the festering corpse that is the Big 12. But the fact remains that none of them will raise the payout to current Pac-12 teams. I agree with that. So any sort of red state pod being added to the socialist and egalitarian Pac-12 in the conventional sense is DOA. All right?
Dead on arrival.
Yes. However, I've got a proposal that might suit their Darwinian capitalist ideas. Let's offer a lifeboat to 4 teams. For argument's sake, let's say Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Kansas, and Iowa State. However, that admission to the Conference of Champions comes with a catch. We'll guarantee them $1 million per year more than whatever the AAC's average TV payout is, currently around $7.5 million per team per year, or is estimated to be with some reanimated version of the Big 12. The Athletic recently estimated they'd be looking at $12 million or so. Why would they agree to such a meager payout? Because we'd extend the carrot if they can each achieve an equal payout only once they win the Pac-12 conference in football. So he's saying you're going to be in the AAC, get a shitty payout.
Incentivizing them to perform.
We'll give you a million more than that. And then you get an equal share if you win the conference. Okay, so that's
bet on yourself, baby.
So think of the intrigue as Oklahoma State fights to be the first Big 12 lost soul to win the Pac-12. These are bullets he's putting up there. Watch the castaways gamble to invest money in coaches and facilities their budget can't afford just to give them a shot at a piece of what will likely be the third most lucrative Tier 1 deal after the Big Ten and SEC. Think of how much of a bargain it'll be to add a blue blood in basketball Kansas with almost no risk that they'll ever be able to recreate their improbable 2007 Orange Bowl run that, by the way, also didn't include a conference championship. Imagine the camaraderie between longtime historical West Coast foes as everyone roots for established Pac-12 teams over an upstart Texas Tech team in the championship game. Oh, and think of the conspiracy theories when teams will be knocked out of contention by will likely be the result of the type of standard Pac-12 officiating incompetence we all know and, quote, love, but will instead be attributed to dirty backroom dealings trying to deprive Iowa State that sweet, sweet Pac-12 Cougar gold cheddar. Whoa. Sure, they'll complain about not being extended the same rights as the privileged 12, but we'll just respond to them in the same way they normally would to someone facing entrenched social inequities. We'll simply ask them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I got that period. Okay. Will the 16-pack be the best football conference? No. Would I love to see the drama unfold? Oh, hell yes. Go Dogs. Montlake Blake.
What I love about it is that it puts into the text what was always subtext about these schools' relationship with the Big 12 in Texas. Like, no, you truly are dog shit. We're going to treat you like dog shit, and you have to perform for us like a show dog. So I love it. It's sort of a dance monkey dance type situation. Obviously never going to happen, but pretty fun and pretty cool.
Yeah, I would. I mean, there could be a scenario where, I mean, I think when Rutgers and Maryland joined the Big Ten, they got less.
Yeah.
It took time. They weren't incentivized to, like,
yeah, it was like a vesting period, right?
It could be something like that where, like, hey, you're going to start off at a lower tier but move your way up as the years pass. But you could add the incentive of that. But if you win the conference, you become a full share member, you know? Like, you will be a full share in 5 years. But if you win in year three, you're instantly a full share, something like that. Like, that could be interesting.
It could be.
Hit a lot of
thoughts.
Big words in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But you handled it well.
Oh, thanks. That was a long one. Sometimes your eyes start to glaze over after reading.
Yeah,
for a
while. No, it's not good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this screen is like, it's also like, I'm like off angle a little bit. And so the text sometimes, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's not great. All right. This is from.
That's a long one, too.
This is from Hugh Janus, Jenny Talia, Dick Gazinia. And Hugh Direction. All right. Hi, boys. It's your old pal Hugh Janus, back from self-imposed hiatus. It's been a while since I checked in with you two, so I thought with the season just around the corner, I should ask a few questions for your mediocre podcast. I convened a roundtable discussion with my friends Jenny Talia, Dick Gozinia, and Hugh G. Rection, and we came up with the following questions. 1. Will Dave Woods get over his obvious dislike for Chip Kelly and the direction of the UCLA program if UCLA wins 8 or more games this season? Probably not.
Yeah, what would it take?
10.
So 10 win season.
10, I'll get over it.
What about just beating LSU?
Nope.
Really?
No. I've seen that story before with other coaches at UCLA. I saw Rick Neuheisel have a dramatic win over Tennessee. What happened to him?
50-0.
Yeah, ran out of gloves. I saw Carl Durrell win some big non-conference games. What happened to him? Ended up in Colorado.
He is, yeah. He's head coach there.
Yeah, rising up. Saw Jim Mora, you know, crush some non-cons, you know, beat the hell out of Nebraska. What happened there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing is, if you beat LSU and LSU actually ends up being like a decent team, I mean, that's a big, like, if LSU is like, ends up being good.
Don't do this to me. Don't do what I do to Clay Helton to me. All right. I don't like it.
I'm not talking crap. I'm saying for the conference. That's a potential big one.
Like, that's a different whole thing. Who cares? Yeah, yeah, sure.
Pumping up Chip Kelly. I think that's a winnable early game. And we saw LSU sort of win some big games last year, even when they were crap. If they come all the way to the West Coast and UCLA is able to get a win. It's good for the conference because they can they'll beat a bunch of teams in the SEC, and that'll like it's always the other way around that like Oregon lost to some team that is mediocre in the SEC, you know, Auburn or whatever. LSU will beat some good teams in the SEC, and if UCLA has that win, it's it helps the conference, you know.
Yeah, that's great. For my purposes of this question, it's sort of like the the pornography thing. I'll know it when I see it. You know, whether it's gotten to the point where I'm enjoying it. It's got to be something legitimate. It can't just be like, oh, they went 6-6 and looked a little bit better than last year. Like, it's fourth year, Chip Kelly. Like, you're not paying it for marginal improvement year over year.
Okay.
Like, win something, dude.
All right.
Two, if you were Pac-12 commissioner for a day, what is the single most important thing you would spend your day trying to do?
For one day, I mean, right now, some of the big problems you can't really fix until, I mean, you could work on TV deals and whatever.
I'd fire every single referee.
I was going to say, like, probably the officiating, like, go there.
Yeah, that's something that's you can work on.
And I feel like George Klyavkov didn't quite understand how bad it was. He let Merton Hanks, like, handle that question at Pac-12 Media Day, and he said, what was the term he used? I forget. It was, like, a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Klyavkov has, like, addressed many, many of the Pac-12's warts and acknowledged them. I don't think he quite knew the extent of Pac-12 refereeing has been. So, yeah, I think he could focus on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. In our opinion, David Shaw is a crap coach and lived off Jim Harbaugh's coattails for a few years of success after Harbaugh left. Now that Stanford looks to be cratering, we can see what a lousy coach Shaw really is. Agree or disagree?
Stanford catering is probably pretty good. Oh, cratering.
Cratering.
But catering there, like if the
I'm
press
sure
box,
it's delicious.
Great food in the press box
it's
there.
Really good.
I would disagree that he lived off Harbaugh's coattails. He had that going for quite a while after Harbaugh left.
I think he had it going, and then I think he suddenly stopped having it going.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I don't think it was just coattails. You get a year or two. Like, you get the Helfrich is what we'll call it. You don't get 4 or 5 years living on somebody's coattails. I think he kind of lost the thread a little bit.
Yeah, they're doing some different things now, and he's sort of like too big to fail. Like, they're never going to get rid of him, right? Like,
well, I'll see how big they fail this year.
We're both thinking that they're going to fail fairly big.
They're
so
gonna be
we'll
pretty
see.
Bad. All right. Four, does a camel's butthole tighten in a sandstorm?
I don't know.
You know, my experience with camel's buttholes is limited. And it, in a situation that involves a sandstorm, even more so, right? So
I think a sandstorm camels would probably just get low to the ground. So I don't know if the butthole would have to
lie
down.
Like, so thinking about horses, which are the cousin of the camel, right? In situations where they're preparing to expend a lot of energy, right? They generally poop, right? They drop some poop. Like, if you're at the bottom of a mountain trail and it's immediately going to be an incline, you'll often see the horses have pooped at the bottom of it because they're getting ready to expend some energy. Now, in a sandstorm, does a camel try to run and beat the sandstorm, or do they try to hunker down? Because that's the question. Hunker down, butthole tightens, right?
Oh.
But if they're getting ready to expend the energy, butthole might expand to allow some poop out so they can really run. Thoughts, comments, concerns?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Never thought of it that way. So.
Right.
Yeah. One of our better questions, I would say.
Yeah, very good.
Maybe not. Okay.
Five, can you rank the Power Five conferences from top to bottom in terms of how much cheating you think goes on in each?
Sure. Right. SEC.
SEC number one.
SEC number two.
ACC number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Big 12 number three. And then Big 10 and Pac-12.
Probably, yeah.
Combined somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
And thanks, all as always, for your thought-provoking, intelligent, and almost worth listening to podcast. Love, Hugh Janus. Genitalia, Dick Gozinia, huge erection. P.S. Here's a bonus question if you have time. Will Arizona State's entire scumbag cheating coaching staff be gone by the end of 2021?
It is a good question. I just don't know.
They didn't make any immediate things, so I think it's going to be entirely dependent on the success of their season.
Yeah.
If they're bad this year, then I think it provides a pretext for them getting rid of everyone. And if they're not, then no.
But I don't even think you get rid of everyone if they're bad. Like, I think it has to, like, allegations would have to, you know, they have to have some findings with the NCAA and, like, show cause penalties and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Yeah. I think it would be not by the end of 2021, but the shoe's going to drop at some point, and I think there's going to be significant changes to it, the staff.
For sure. PPS, Ryan's rim job comment a few weeks ago is probably the single greatest highlight of all the shows you've ever done. Keep up the great work, Ryan.
Of course. Thanks, Hugh.
Thank you,
Jetty.
Hugh.
Dick and Hugh again.
Yeah.
There's two Hughes.
A lot of Hughes.
Yeah, maybe like come up with a different one that's not a second Hugh.
How can he change his friend's name?
I think he could.
You think he has that kind of control, that power and control?
I'm pretty sure he does. All right. Thank you, guys. And yeah, good stuff.
Great stuff.
We had a good one. Glad we
finest stuff. Top tier stuff. Best stuff we've ever produced.
We need to do like our preseason picks and everything, right? Like we haven't done anything. We didn't do anything.
I've already
previews.
Got mine ready.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Ready to go. I've picked game by game what I think is going to happen.
Wow. All right. I guess I should do that.
Yeah. Usually you might do that before you pick who's going to win the league, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Honestly.
I'm just having a lot of time.
Just don't do your job.
No. That's definitely not the case. Okay. Thanks all for the questions, and thanks for the reviews. We appreciate that. We got another Chucky gift card that we sent out next week when we hear back from them. So thanks for all that. Thanks for reviews.
I heard Chucky gift card, and I'm like, a gift card to like buy the Chucky movies?
Ooh, no. I said I hope I said Jockey, maybe not.
I hope it was Chucky.
It was like, yeah, we go back. I can change it to Chucky just in case.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should get in touch with them and they should change their name to Chucky.
Jockey to Chucky?
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah. We're just saying words now.
Chuck E. Cheese?
We've reached a point of our day where we're just nonsensically saying words to each other.
Where is Chuck E. Cheese pizza rank for you?
Pretty poor.
It's pretty bad, right?
Yeah, it's not good. It doesn't rank. It doesn't factor
it's
into
like basically
the list.
Just cheese, right? Do they have anything else?
Yeah, I mean, like
it's kids' pizza.
Look, so pizza. Generally speaking, like high floor, right? You know what you're getting.
You're USC recruiting.
For
right?
pizza to be bad, like there's got to be a lot of stuff wrong with it. Because at the end of the day, it's cheese and some red sauce and some dough. Like how can that actually be awful? Chuck E. Cheese, you know, it meets the bar. It doesn't exceed that bar really at all.
Yeah.
Like just cheese on dough. Yeah. So, you know. It's sort of like a hamburger. Like a bad hamburger, it's still like whatever.
Yeah. We live in a good hamburger city. A lot of good hamburger joints.
We live in a good hamburger era, I want to say. Because it's not just LA. Like you can find like really good cheeseburgers pretty much anywhere now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time in the world of hamburgers.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Well, that is David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast of Champions. We're both a little loopy right now, but hope you enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Adios.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.